And turn to Revelation chapter 5. We won't stand quite yet in just a moment. There, as we're entering the fall and we're also coming off of a real extensive physical part of the building, a lot of us have been out there, men, ladies. We've trying to just get our traction back and in being obedient to God in this era of the Great Commission. And so you'll hear Brother Myers, I think, maybe while I was gone, maybe had a message or two. And so we want to help our church in this area. The message tonight, it's sort of part two from this morning, but why spread the gospel? Why? There might be somebody here, you teenager, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You get on a teenage soul-winning bus and go, hey, this is fun. I'm going to go with everybody else. There's nothing wrong with that, but you might want to know, why are we doing what we're doing? Okay? And then maybe you might sign up for Tuesday night soul-winning, and you're here, and you're with all the Christians, and you're here at the fellowship, and that's wonderful, and get on the bus, and we go soul-winning, and win people to Christ, and of course, you have a general idea why. And so I want to just spend just a few moments tonight on why spread the gospel. Why? Or why all the talk about soul winning? By the way, we had a great start. No, we haven't started. Every Saturday we meet, unless it's a Christmas day or if it's a Christmas Eve on Saturday at 9:30. Great. The fellowship hall was filled. Brother Compa said the chapel was filled with the Spanish people. Had a good group in Monterey Park and going out soul winning. And the Chinese groups are going out soul winning. In October, we will have our regular Saturday morning soul winning. And then that's a faithfulness rally. And now in October, we'll have nursery. We don't usually have nursery care on Saturdays, but we'll have a nursery and we'll have child care for the English and the Spanish and for Maywood and for Chinese and for whoever else. Then every Wednesday, the college in the month of October, once a month, they'll, of course they go out on Saturdays, but once a month they'll have a Wednesday they'll be going out. But every Wednesday in October at 11 o'clock, all the college students will get on a bus and they'll go out soul winning. And then also, the staff will go with them, those that aren't teaching in the school. And by the way, everybody's invited. If you say, well, I can't come on Tuesday night because I work, or I can't come on Saturday morning because Batman's on, you can come with the college students and get on the bus and go on at Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Tuesdays, Brother Myers mentioned it, we will go on Tuesday nights for five consecutive weeks at 7 o'clock, and that's Maywood, and that's the English, and that's the Spanish, and that's Chinese, and whoever else it is. Tuesday night, we will have nursery. We will have child care. And then, of course, we do this always during the school year. On Thursday night, the teenagers go out soul winning. And then in Monterey Park, or Maywood, I keep saying Monterey Park, Maywood, the teenagers also on Wednesday night before their midweek service, they go soul winning. Then we're going to prepare for Friend Day. And Friend Day is a great day. Many of us here, many people in our church have gotten saved on Friend Day, or maybe we weren't regular in our church and maybe we've been wayward and we came back. Then there's going to be tracks out. There's going to be tracks on reaching Muslims, and there's going to be tracks on reaching the Jewish people, and there's going to be Chinese tracks and Spanish tracks and I think Filipino tracks and you name it, we'll have tracks for it. Now, this morning, and just before we reread the scripture here tonight, this morning we said we limit our passion to help people escape eternal judgment because often our souls are so exhausted. And when we say our souls are exhausted, we only have so much mind, will, and emotion, okay? And really, sports, and again, I'm a sports guy. I used to love sports. When I was 6 years old, I used to read the sports section religiously. And when I say religiously, the way we read our Bibles. And I was a Chicago Cub fan. I told Maywood Church this past week, when the Cubs played the Dodgers, it's the first time in 40 years that I pulled for the Dodgers over the Cubs. And I said, you guys poisoned me. You got me converted. Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah, they are tired of losing. Black cats and all that stuff. But you have sports, and then you have hobbies, okay? And then some of us exercise. And by the way, I exercise. My wife and I were trying to do a two-mile walk, you know, a day. Two-mile walk a day. And she walks and tells me how far it is, and I say, good, and I pat her on the back. No, we walk together. And then, but here we are. We're following the Dodgers. We're walking, and what's our hobby? I don't know what your hobby is. Maybe you're like Martha Hoblitzel. I've never been there. Heard her backyard. She has plants and flowers and you name it. And I think everything's organic. And so now you got to get on an internet and say, well, you know, I found this little bug. 3 hours you're searching on where this bug come from. Is it going to hurt my plants? Okay. And pretty soon, your soul's depleted. We have to decide, what is it that God wants us to do on this earth, 70 and give it our best shot? And so we mentioned this morning, I got a little quote from, I don't even know who this guy is, William Wilberforce. He said, this perpetual hurry of business and company ruins me in soul, if not in body. More solitude and early hours I need. I suspect I have been allotting habitually too little time to religious exercises as private devotion, spiritual or biblical meditation, scripture reading, etc. Hence, I am lean and cold and hard in heart. I had better allot 2 hours and a half daily, or 2 hours or an hour and a half daily. I have been keeping too late hours, and hence had but a hurried half hour in the morning for his devotion. Surely the experience of all good men confirms this proposition that without a due measure of private devotions, the soul will grow lean. God help us to not have lean souls. And might we be replenished with God's word. And Thursday night I spent some time on talking about not only reading the Bible, but which should be our first book, but also reading good books. By the way, recommended books. Books could ruin you if you get the wrong books in your hand. Then we said this morning, and then we'll just a moment, we'll read for, this is just review. We mentioned this morning, we go soul winning, or we witness to people because we are helping people to escape eternal judgment. Now let's stand together and turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And verse number 1. Revelation 5 and verse number 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 4, and I wept much. Of course, this is John. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and twenty elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy. By the way, Jesus is worthy. Amen. To take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth, on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Father, help us to understand this great, important truth about soul winning. Why? We heard this morning to help our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, and as we just read, every tongue and every kindred, people, all different peoples, to help them to escape eternal judgment. But Lord, tonight, help shed light from your word on a few other reasons why. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn, if you would, please, back up a chapter to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 8. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. John Leonard Dober and David Nitschmann, names you may not readily recognize. John was a potter. David was a carpenter. Ordinary occupations. Extraordinary men. They are men who left the security of their jobs and families in Copenhagen to become the first Moravian missionaries in 1732. John Leonard Dober and David Nitschmann are unsung heroes. These men were not going on a nice short-term missions to the Caribbean or to Africa or to China, but they sold themselves into slavery to answer the call, come and bring the gospel to us. It gives new meaning to the phrase sold out for Christ. They became slaves in order to have the opportunity to reach the slaves of the West Indies for the Lord. Their life's purpose was to follow the Lamb who had given his life for them and for all souls of the world. Their mission statement was, "Our Lamb has conquered. Let us follow him." One of the men left his family on the shore, on the wharf, his family begging on the wharf for him as they were taking off to reconsider and stay, they said. But the call and heart of God for these slaves in the West Indies was even greater than the pull of home. As the ship pulled away from the docks and the men lifted a cry, this was their cry as they left their family, they left their friends, they left their church to never return. And listen, quote, "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering," which became the cry and the heartbeat of the Moravian missions movement. The men felt their sacrifice paled in comparison to the sacrifice of their Savior. Their love, they loved Jesus with everything. They were and did and desired to walk in obedience, knowing that the God who called them is the God who gives the courage, grace, and anointing for their task. Even to spend a life of hard toil with meager provisions and hardships, they experienced and modeled the truth of Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Let me say tonight, one reason we go soul winning is because Jesus deserves the reward of his suffering. See, I don't know if I quite understand that. I actually was sort of meditating on this. I worked when I first graduated from high school, just before I went to college, I worked at a welding shop. I went in high school, had metal shop and welding and machine shop and all that. So right away, I graduated on Friday, and Monday night, they hired me at Starlight Welding in Santa Fe Springs. What we did, you see the big beams up there, that's what we'd put those together. We actually, a lot of the steel beams that we made went to Saudi Arabia. I don't know what it was all about, but a lot of them went to Saudi Arabia. And I can't remember the owner's name, but every once in a while the owner would come, and what we would do is we would, I forget what they were called, but the guys that, sort of the engineer guys, show you where to put the angle iron and where you put the holes and everything, and then we blow the holes in there, put the angle iron in, and weld it, and then we would put it in the actually while it was outside there's sort of an inside structure there, and they would do some finish work in there, and what we would do is we would pick it up on a forklift and we would bring it inside. And it would take a little while because the area wasn't real big. And then what the owner decided to do, he decided to spend a bunch of money and he built a crane, an overhead crane. And that overhead crane, they came in. I took them several weeks, if I remember, to build it. And then instead of getting the forklifts, all you'd have to do is you'd have this little button, man. It's just move the crane. The chain comes down, wrap it up, and then moves that way. Well, some people, they just didn't want to use the crane. That guy spent probably tens of thousands, I don't know, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars for the crane, the owner. And one day he came in, and he was so proud of his new crane. And there were some guys that came in there, and some of the welders in there, they were using the forklift instead of the crane. And it's slower. Okay, and he came in there and he just ripped these guys' faces off. Said, "What are you using the forklift for? I spent a bunch of money to put that crane," and he said, "Get that forklift out there and wrap it up with the crane and with the chains." Now, that might be a homespun illustration, but let me say this. Jesus paid for all of our sins, all the sins of the world. And as these Moravians, their cry was, "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." He suffered so much, and these men said, "Hey, listen, he died on the cross for the whole world. Might he receive the reward of his suffering by us going out and telling people about Christ?" One reason we go out is because Jesus deserves the reward of his suffering. Why else? This morning we said to help people to escape eternal judgment. Our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors. And we also go out and spread the gospel because Jesus deserves the reward of his suffering. Why else do we go out and tell people about Jesus and go soul winning? We go soul winning to obey God. We can go to Mark and Acts and Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I sent our church, we sent an email from Bob Gray. He has a little article. It's not a real little article. It's a sort of longer article on relationships. How many got that on relationships? You get that? We are so easily, they call it the herd mentality. We are so easily caught up in what everybody else is doing and saying. Okay? By the way, I have a relationship with God. And I encourage you to have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with my wife. And I encourage you to have a relationship. But let me say this. If my wife and I aren't obeying each other, and I don't mean obey, hey, do this, but if I'm not fulfilling her wishes and she's not fulfilling my wishes, we ain't got a relationship. There's this whole thing, well, you know, maybe I don't go soul winning or I don't do this, but I have a relationship with God. If you're not obeying that Bible, you don't have a relationship with God. And there's this feely-goody, wishy-washy, now they call it the sloppy agape, okay? And by the way, we love God and we should love each other. But one reason we should get the gospel out and go soul winning and pass a track out and witness to our neighbor and witness if we have the opportunity from our company to witness to a coworker. If it's on the job, you got to get permission. Or if it's after work, you don't. Is because we're trying to obey the God of heaven. And we go soul winning to be obedient. So you might not have a passion to help prevent someone from the judgment, eternal judgment. You might not have a real understanding of, as these Moravian missionaries said, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And maybe you don't quite understand that Jesus deserves the reward of his suffering, even though you don't understand it, he does. But if there's only one reason we go out soul winning, there's only one reason. It can be because we're obeying God. Now, we're not Calvinists. We're not hyper-Calvinists. We're not unhyper-Calvinists. We're not Calvinists. We don't believe that Brother Kyle was chosen to go to hell and Chanty was chosen to go to heaven and Ryan was chosen to go to hell and James was going to. We don't believe that. But I'll tell you this. The Calvinists have it right in one area. You say, why would a Calvinist? By the way, Calvinism squelches the spirit of soul winning. Calvinism squelches the spirit of getting the gospel. However, there are some, and the truth is, there's many Calvinists that they go soul winning. They do go soul winning. And they get the gospel out. And they say, listen, we don't go soul winning because we're trying to save someone from hell, because they've already been saved from hell from the foundation of the earth. We go soul winning for one reason. We are obeying our God. And they have it right. And by the way, those of us that aren't Calvinists, we ought to understand that maybe we don't feel like it, and maybe we don't understand all of the saving people from hell, and we don't understand all the doctrine. If for only one reason, we should be obedient to God's command. And lastly, first this morning we said we by going soul winning, we help people to escape eternal judgment. And then we go soul winning because Jesus deserves the reward of his suffering. And then we go soul winning to obey God's command. And let me just in closing say this. We go soul winning to help preserve our nation. But I mentioned, I think it was Thursday night, our governor has, I think it starts January 1st, to where if you think you're, if you're a boy and you think you're a girl, if I understand right, what I read, you can take a shower in the girls' shower room. And you can go in the girls' bathroom. Sometimes I think we're on a different planet. How in the world did we get where we are? You say, Pastor, how can we turn the tide? By the way, I don't give up. I don't give up till my head's cut off. Psalms 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Say, Pastor, what do we need in America? Do we need a new president? Do we need a new governor? Do we need a new mayor? Right now, we need all three. But more than that, we need righteous people. And going out, and by the way, I believe as I study history, and I also look at the Bible, I study history, history of America, the greatest way to get the gospel out is to plant new churches. Because now you have a new little, by the way, we have that little, and it's not an indigenous church there in Rosemead. You got that little group, and now they got a little building there, and now they're going soul winning in that area, and they can win people to Christ right there. Maybe we can have two churches someday, one in Monterey Park and one in Maywood, and then they have their own faithfulness rally, and then five or ten, I don't know how many Brother Carlos showed up, the Spanish, little Spanish group there in Maywood, they showed up, and they went out and gave the gospel to the Spanish-speaking people, and then Brother Pritchard, he goes over to Stanton and starts a church over there, and now you got all these little soul-winning hubs getting the gospel out, getting people saved. Then we have some groups. We got Brother Joseph has a heart for the Muslims. We have Brother Michael has a heart for the Jews. And we keep getting the gospel out, keep getting the gospel out. And we're passionate about it. And we're enthusiastic about it because we cut off some of our hobbies. And we cut off going to the beach. And we cut off going to doing all these little things. Now we have a heart for it. We go soul winning to help preserve our nation. By the way, there's church planting and soul winning helps see more people saved to bring people to positional righteousness. They're saved. They're right before God. But also, planting of churches, by the way, I just heard a great sermon by Brother Beller here today. I mean, he understands American history and understands the Bible and understands Baptist history like no man I've ever met, no man I know, no man I've ever heard of as far as in America. And he believes that really what our nation needs is a church planting movement. Amen. Church planting is what's going to save our nation if it's saved, if it's preserved. And by the way, I don't know that we can, we're not going to save it forever because we know that it's all going to fall apart. Because Jesus is going to come back, and just before Jesus comes back, the whole thing's going to fall apart. But wouldn't it be nice if we can preserve it for our children? We could plant churches, and by the way, the right churches. I've met some guys, and we're no better than anybody else. We're all a bunch of dirt. But God's taught some of us some things. There's some guys make me nervous. I'm like, I don't know if I'd want that guy to plant a church. I don't know if I'd want to support him. I don't know what kind of church it's going to be. Seems like he's just out there to just, you know, he's got a big head. Just wants to, you know, go out there and make a name for himself. We're trying to do what we can to win souls for Christ. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together.